Lady Shirin Derech Hashem, it's Sunday Parshat Ikeh, Chof Beis Kislev, December 10th, 23rd Shirin Derech Hashem, Sunday, December 10th, Kislev, Chof Beis, Shirin number 23. Okay, Derech Hashem, we're in section 1, Perek Chamishi. And we're in the middle of the first paragraph in Perek Chamishi. The paragraph with the words, the paragraph, there were probably, I don't know if you have a text or not. Talk about first setting up, categorizing the things that exist in this world. He's leading into, this is static, because that's the style of Hashem. This is what he wrote on the introduction. You have the basics, and then you move up, and it gets more and more complicated. But you get lost if you don't understand the basics, and you move up. So he's going to talk about halacha. He's going to be talking about things that happen in the world, how they happen, how Gzeiros Hashem is carried out, what brings about Gzeiros Hashem, and how it then devolves upon this world. So he starts off talking about the physical world and the spiritual world. And in the physical world, there's Elyonim and Tachtonim, the Shemayim Va'aretz. In the spiritual world, there are Neshamos and Nivdalim, he calls them. Neshamos are a unique category. They are spiritual entities that are going to combine with a physical entity, and that's the only creature in the entire universe, in the entire of creation, we have a mizug, we have a combination of these two things. But they connect, they tie into each other, they're intertwined. Okay, so you have neshamos, and then you have other spiritual entities, nivdalim he calls them, transcendent beings, they're spiritual, and they are not going to go into a guf. In the Nivdalim, there are two types. There's Kolchos and Malachim. Kolchos, we said, explains their spiritual, as we're talking about, not neshamos, not spiritual entities that are going to go into a guf, but purely spiritual entities. And of this, there are two types. There's Kolchos and Malachim. Kolchos just means the spiritual force in the world. We talk about a Shefa from Shemayim. We talk about the Shefa of Chesed, of Gvura, the Spheros, they're called in some Sarim, Midos Hashem, Spheros. We talk about Gdula, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Neitzachud, these spiritual forces that emanate from Hashem, I guess you could say, and they are in the world, just like in the physical world. You have genetic forces, you have other types of physical forces that are acting in the world, gravity, gravitational forces. So here also you have spiritual forces. And then you have malachim. And he'll explain the role of malachim. We call them angels. There's really very different sorts of malachim. The Rambam enumerates a hierarchy of 10 sorts of malachim. That just means types. Like you have a lieutenant and a colonel and a sergeant and a private. So in Malachim, you also have a hierarchy of Malachim. So that's the setup. Then he says the Shadim. We think of Shadim as evil beings. Ramchal does not talk about Shadim in that way. He just says Shadim is a interesting type of entity, which is in the twilight zone, not really physical, not really spiritual. A little spiritual, a little physical, a little of both. Not to be confused at all with a neshama, which is purely spiritual, and it combines with physical to make up the entity called mankind. Those are two purely pure. Well, the spiritual is spiritual, and the physical is physical, like an animal. And the purpose of the Bria is to combine these two things, and they work together in tandem to do the Ratzon Hashem, with the physical pulling you in one direction, spiritual pulling you in a different direction. That's what he explained in the first four prakim. But we're the center of the universe. We're the purpose of the universe. We tie together, mankind ties together spiritual and physical. Shadim are just beings that are in the twilight zone, as I said. They're not purely physical. They're not bound by space. On the other hand, they have other, they do have physical properties and spiritual properties. And that's all he says about them. They're a category in itself. Think of it, as I said, the twilight zone, Ben Hashmashos. Vihine, this is what we're up to. Vihine Nivchan, V'Nivdal, Min Ha'odom Levado. A person, it's clear after learning this, that a person is unique. Mankind, Leos Murkov Mishnei Mine Briya Nivdalam Lagamri. A person is made up of two opposite components. And neither is adulterated by the other, meaning the neshama is in the mud, as we said. So it has to be cleaned off. But the neshama itself is tahorahi. The neshama is not really affected. It's affected only in that someone pulled the shade down. Someone turned out the light. Someone has covered it up. It's like the sun is unaffected when you put down the window shade and the sun's not shining into the room. So the sun's not affected. You just shut it out. So that's what happens with the neshama when it's muddied with the bodily needs. Dina neshama hel yona v'aguf ha-shafol. Mashalonim so b'shum nivra acher. That's it. No one, and that's the purpose of the world, to have such an entity. Don't make a mistake. Animals also have something that is sometimes called a soul. In Hebrew, it's called the Nefesh HaBahami. They have a life force. It's really a physical thing, but it's intangible. It's not something a doctor could point to. It's the life force called the Nefesh HaBahami. So it's the most, I call it the least physical of all the physical things that could be. And a person has a Nefesh HaBahami too, as part of his guf. He also has this life force that keeps the guf going. So don't make the mistake, don't mix up. There are words that are used. He doesn't get into the words. There's ruach, nefesh, neshama, Yechida, there's all kinds of words used for different levels of the soul. So this would be called nefesh. The soul he's talking about would be called neshama, probably. The soul that's the chelek alo kamimal and combines with the guf, and it's a chiddush, no other being has it. And what the animal has, its highest component, so to speak, is called nefesh. And a person has that nefesh also. Don't think that other Baalei Chayim are like a person. The nefesh, as we call it, a soul. Maybe in English we only have one word. So we say the soul are not spiritual phenomena. It's not a spiritual phenomenon. So dover gashmi, it's something gashmi. It's a force. I mean, it's probably found in the blood. Like, that's where it resides. Min adakim shebegashmi is true. It's the most spiritual of all the physical. Umeyono nimtzagam kein ba'adam. And Adam has that also. Bebechina seyosab al-chai. A person is a living creature. And this life force, what keeps a person alive, what keeps it moving, thinking, breathing, eating, digesting, all the physical things that it does, it needs a life force from Hashem. And that life force is found in the nefesh, it's called. And a person has that also, but that's not what we're talking about. The uniqueness of man is not that he has a nefesh. An animal has a nefesh also. We'll use the word nefesh. Think of nefesh, the life force that radiates life into the body. That's what life. Doctors don't know what life is. They just know when a person's. They try to define the moment of death. The person's not doing anything, so he's dead. But there is, we know that there's a spirit, the most spiritual of physical things is called a nefesh, and that's the life force, and when that leaves the body, the person's dead.
Besides that, yesh bodim neshama elyona.
We call it sometimes chelek aloka mimal, and call it neshama in contradistinction to nefesh. She min bria b'fnei atzma. Nivdal min haguf legamri. It's transcendent of the guf. It's not a guf thing at all. V'rochog mimenu ad ma'od. Shabo'o v'niksheres bo. It, as he said before, like it's kneaded into it, like water and flour to make a dough. It's tied with a kesher chazak, the gezeirosu yisborach shabo. Really, these two things should not be able to connect. They're from two different worlds. They have a common denominator to say that they should both coexist in a person. But that's what Hashem said. That's what Hashem wanted. That's Hashem's chiddush. That's the whole purpose of the whole world, the whole universe, the whole creation. Everything is so that the entity exists and do with it what he described. He'll be describing more, but what he described in the first four prakim.
Here he's not making any havdalah, being goyim v'yudim.
That's correct, he will.
So at this point, a goy has a neshama also.
At this point, we're at the point when Odom was created. Right? V'niksheres bo b'gzeirosu yuzborach shemo, ala kavona shosachainu b'prokem shekadavdu. Right? And the purpose and the goal, the intention of such a chiddushtik creation, where you have two polar opposites, two diametrically opposed entities combining in one being, has a purpose, and that purpose was to be made out of the Bishan Hashem, to unsully the neshama. Hanivram hagashmiyim, physical things, you do in Hemenu. I mean, we know what we know. As much science as we know, so we know properties and the abilities of the physical things. We could put them under a microscope, we could measure them, we could define them, we could give them names, we know how they work. We know the rules of nature, so to whatever degree we know them. Right? Obviously knowledge developed, but from the Torah Ramchal to our time, there's been an avalanche of knowledge about how the physical world. And 300 years, 400 years. Umishpatehem, the way they work, the way they function, laws of physics, all the laws of chemistry, all the laws that go everything here, not behavior in the sense, of ability, what it's able to do, what it's not able to do. Ativian, bechlalam, right? Before summon. So we know that the only science textbook. And you know how physical things work. You know what they can do with the incantations, to whatever degree you know them. Very, very complicated. Right? The college level, this is not seventh grade, so you learn and understand. And we have an image, we measure it. It's in our world. Now, the Ruchniyim, Nivdalim, with Nivdalim split up between Kochos and Malachim. So Ruchniyistic things also have their rules. You say, it's not just physical rules. The spiritual things are not Hashem. They're also creations of Hashem. So if Hashem created this world with rules and gvurot, and what you can do, and what you can't do, and how the world works. So the spiritual world is the same. We don't word to describe. We can't imagine what laws there would be. We don't know what they're doing the whole day. We know what we're doing the whole day, but we don't know what they're doing because we can't, because they're ruchni yosik of beings. But he says, be aware. He's giving this hadama because he's going to describe. He's going to describe some of those laws. I told you, as it relates to Hashgachas Hashem, as it relates to how Hashem's gezeros are carried out in this world. And it's going to upend the entire view of the universe, because they're doing so much, and they're carrying out the gezeros Hashem, and there's so much going on. We don't know. I mean, even the physical world, we don't know. We don't know. I saw gravity at... I never saw it, but I know it exists because it can be measured and it can be proven, and all the laws of Teva can be measured and proven and shown to be true to whatever degree they can. The spiritual, we don't have a thesis in. We don't know what to think about. We don't know how anything works. There's an equivalent of a law of gravity there. There's an equivalent law of Newton's third law of whatever it's called. There's an equivalent in the spiritual world. We don't know how to think about it because we don't have the tools to imagine or spirituality. So they're really describing it a bit using words that we can relate to. A causes B, B causes C. So these are words that mean something to us, even though we don't know that means in the spiritual world, other than, you know, the word cause, okay. But, like, how? How does it happen? What happens? It's outside the realm of religion. And we'll be talking about them, describing how they work. He said, I'm revealing to you, it's part of the Masoris, it's part of what was revealed to Moshe at Har Sinai. How else would you know it? You don't see it. We're not aware of it. We can't even imagine it. So this is the Masoris, and this is what I'm giving over to you. Ramchal's not making up these things. You don't sit and make up these worlds he's talking about of Neshamos and Nifdolim and Kochos and Malachim and Shadim. He's not a fiction writer, science fiction. This is the Masoris. This is part of Torah Shebaal Peh. Ramchal is revealing it to us, and you can be sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, so to speak, that it's time for this to be revealed, that people would benefit from it. People would benefit from seeing the ramifications of their actions. This is speculation on my part. As history went on and we got away from Har Sinai, so it became harder and harder to be inspired. So Ramchal, when you say, oh my goodness, an action of mine is affecting the whole world, right? And the Ramchal, and then the Nefesh HaChaya revealed so much of this hidden world. And then Kabbalah became a little more accessible, to people. Was all you could be sure, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides when in history there should be an industrial revolution and it shouldn't be so much agricultural societies, and it should be more industrial, and slavery should stop, and the whole system of feudalism should stop, and democracy should become, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides this tekufa, or these centuries, as we head towards Mashiach, the world needs to shift and to change and to go into different modes. So we maybe get a glimpse of it and understand a little of it, a little, a drop light. We certainly can't predict what will happen, but we're bystanders. We're just watching the world go by. We're watching history in the, and we're just, spectators. But realize, it's important to realize that nothing's by accident. It's silly to think, it's wrong, it's silly for a believing Jew to say somebody discovered electricity, someone discovered America. Hashem is the one Shai Habina, and the Prophet Hashem decided when when different things should be revealed. The explosion of scientific knowledge, certainly, of course, Be'ez Hashem, there's a whole world, even in the physical, you know, he talks about the spiritual world that we can't relate to, right? The average person has no idea what's going on in the physical world, right? The scientist in the lab is discovering new discoveries every day, right? And the DNA, you know, it's a word to him, he doesn't understand what it is, but you see how complex, how creative, and how full of chesed, and how full of exact plans the whole being is. Maybe not. I don't know. It's not important. Ramchal has become a mainstay of our Masorah. There was, you have to understand, again, we weren't there in the aftermath of Shatzi Tzvi. Shatzi Tzvi affected the Jewish world. It shook it up like nothing. I would even say, well, nothing since the Churban HaBayis did Shatzi Tzvi shake up the Jewish world. And the reason people, bad ramifications because of Shatzi Tzvi, if you would, before Shatzi Tzvi appeared on the scene, before what happened, so if you would have told someone that the Jews are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and half the Jews in the world are going to live there, but most of the frum world, or at least half the frum world, are going to say that it has nothing to do with Tanakh, nothing to do with Mashiach, nothing to do, it's all evil act of the Satan. So they look at you like you're crazy, and you fell off, and you banged your head on something very hard. But now that's what happened. It's all because of Shatzi Tzvi. Shatzi Tzvi pushed the idea of Mashiach off everyone's radar. That's how terrible the ramifications of what happened. It was such a blow to Klal Yisrael that it pushed everything off. And now there became, almost as a protective measure, as a defensive measure, that Mashiach's going to come down from Shemayim on a white donkey blowing a shofar, and everybody's going to see it's Mashiach. And that's what happened. And now, if you, and this has to do with, it has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with Tcheles, it has to do with Harabayas, it has to do with anything that smacks of Mashiach, right? Anything that smacks of Mashiach. Let's say when the Rebbe, when Babacher Rebbe was alive. That's the problem. That people, that there's always Meshigam in every movement. But when he was alive, so you say, well, why can't he be Mashiach? Maybe he is. Let's wait and see. Like, why should we attack him? Maybe he will be Mashiach. Who knows? But you see, that became a very big no-no. It's all because of Shatzi Tzvi. Like, we can't deal with Tcheles or Mashiach or a natural process leading to the Geula or a Beis Hamikdash being built before Mashiach comes, which most Rishonim hold. If you look at chapter and verse and text, most Rishonim hold that the Beis Hamikdash will be built before Mashiach comes. But this is all totally off the radar, and no one talks about it, and you're afraid to talk about it. And anything that smacks of Mashiach talk, that we're already entering a new era, it's laughable, but it's sad. But that's the terrible effect of Shatzi Tzvi. The Gemara says the sure sign of the coming of Mashiach, that he's imminent, is that Eretz Yisrael will be producing fruit again. It won't be desolate, it will be producing fruit. Now, I don't know the last time you were in Ben Yehuda Shuk, but so you would think, well, that's a Gemara. Like, it's a Gemara.
What about a standing
army? Anything, everything. Well, it doesn't say that in the Gemara. So, like, you would think you can't dispute. Don't let's not talk about army, hey? So you would think, right? But it's all a tozoah from that horrible, horrible event. And we still didn't recover from it. Then that's why it's so off the radar. And you look around and you think everybody, you know, so. You say, like, how can we ignore what's going on? It's like, Crazy. It is. It's crazy. On the flip side, it's hard to say. On the flip side, in the wake of Shabtzi Tzvi, you have Chassidus, and you have Ramchal, and you have... So, it's like... So, it did open up that world. So, yeah. At first, they thought they're dealing... Because Ramchal talked about how he was visited by a Malach, and he learned with a Malach, and he talked about things that are really Nistar, and Torah Sakabala, and the Zohar came back in vogue, and Hasidim changed the Nusach of Tefillah, and the Gro put them in Cherem. And you can imagine, you know, we have the benefit of hindsight. We have the benefit of hindsight, so we say, oh. But at the time, the Gro put them in Cherem, no question, right? They started, it was thought that some of them were playing around with Halacha, and with Shabtzi Tzvi, like, you look back, you don't understand how anybody could have been fooled by Shabtzi Tzvi once he started violating Halacha. But, because now we're smarter. Klal Yisrael is smarter. Or, we are. But then they said, hey, you know, and he said, you don't have to fast anymore, the Taneisim, because I'm a Mashiach, and Mashiach's here, and you know, so again, we have the benefit of hindsight. But the answer to your question is, it was in the wake of Shabtzi Tzvi. But Hashem runs history, not people. So the good guys win. Ramchal became Ramchal. So good. Hashem maneuvered, maybe thanks to the Gro, many say. The Gro saved the Ramchal from, because the Gro said, this is an unbelievably great person. And the Gro, like, was the Gro. So we got three of the most important basic works of Jewish Hashkafa and everything is Mesillas Yesharim on a down to earth level, Derech Hashem on a more transcendent level, and Das Tvunos on an even more transcendent. And he wrote many, many, many more Sforim. He wrote many, 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 many more Sforim that were lost. He wrote many Sforim that are not usually learned. Oh, yeah. If I tell you, you get very I would get very depressed. I don't want to say.
Oh.
He was like in his 40s. They didn't waste time. That's the difference. These people did not waste time. Obviously, he was a genius, but that's no excuse. You know, he had the kolchus he had. But anyway, he wrote many, many Sforim that we do have. Around half of Sforim were lost. And again, you say, what a pity, but you have to realize Hashem is in charge of that also. But the three ones that are, I can't say commonly learned, but I could say that you go into a store and you can buy it. It's not hard to find. There's translations of it, and people, it's become, in the world of the common man, would be, of course, Mesil Shisharim, like, of course, and there Hashem and Das Tvunos. Okay, so he said, wow, how could he have been Mechagram? This is unbelievable. But at the time, you know, it seemed like a second coming, you'll excuse the expression, of Shabtzi Tzvi. This guy's talking Kabbalah, he's talking about that he talked to a Malach, and he's talking about things that no one saw or no one could see, and he's talking about it. So, yeah, that's not at all surprising. So, v'nei minhag, now here, so it's a Masoros, he says. V'nei minhag'ikrim ha'gedolim sh'b'yadeinu b'inyan zeh. Let me first say what he's going to say outside. Then who? Everything in the physical world has its counterpart in the spiritual world. The existence of this, and what I'm saying is true about things and about events. This Shtender is the end of a long, long chain. Everything has a Sulam Mutzav Orza Verosho Magia Hashamayim. Everything starts off as a spiritual force, probably as a Koach, in the Ramchal's words, not as a Malach, because we'll see, Malachim have a special, unique role, that what they do in the Bria. Malachim do something. The kolchos, as he calls it, kolchos in contradistinction to malachim, are just forces. There's a spiritual stender in Shemayim. We don't know what it looks like. It doesn't look like anything, obviously. It's a spiritual force in the Bria. And then there's a chain of a million links. Conservative estimate. I never counted them. And each link becomes a little more physical, a little less spiritual, until you get down to the stender. And it's true about every single thing in the Bria, every blade of grass, every cockroach, the one in your kitchen also. It has a spiritual, and every event, when communism falls, I think we may be familiar if you learn Chumash and Rashi, so you're a little familiar with the idea of Sarim, Sorrow shall Esav, Sorrow shall Bavel, Uparo Hikriv, Sorrow shall Mitzrayim. And when communism falls, Hashem, the Malach fell in Shemayim, the spiritual, their entities, and you learn Lamashal Maharal. Maharal is also a major player on the, I didn't say his name, but a major player on the bridging of the gap between the physical world and the spiritual world, between the world of Nigla and the world of Nistar. The morale, like you see Hashem's hand in history, the morale was early. The morale was like in the 1400s? I don't know, I'm not so good in history, but the morale was unknown for 200 years. He wrote his forum, and okay, it was, and he exploded onto the scene very recently, with the explosion of Hasidus being more in the realm of everybody. Not just some sect. And with the people yearning for a deeper understanding of everything, even in total nigla, like Mr. Meliyahu, people want to understand things. And that definitely goes along with the explosion in science, to my mind, which is we want a deeper understanding of the physical. We want to know how come this thing acts this way. Why does this thing have these properties? And so the scientists keep delving into, and Hashem revealed so much of the physical world to keep discovering what lies behind this, and what lies behind this force, and what lies behind this reaction, this chemical reaction. It's amazing how the Maharal became, I'll say the word, in vogue, but I don't want to. Maharal woke up in the last 50 to 100 years. Maharal became the thing to learn. And we're talking about contemporary history now. Rav Hutner Zatzal had a huge part in bringing the Maharal into the realm of everyday man and popularizing the Maharal. Rav Moshe Shapiro Zatzal had a huge hand in popularizing the Maharal. And then there started being different printings of the Maharal and different perushim on the Maharal, and because Hashem's running history, so it wasn't time yet for the Maharal's svarim to be popularized, be learned by the average person. The average person still can't learn it. I mean, you have to be a Talmud Chacham to learn the Maharal and to understand it. But that's part of anyway. So let's get back to this. I just wanted to. We have to pay the Maharal his due. He's like a major bridge between Nigla and Nistar, between the physical and the spiritual, between the Kabbalistic, but not really Kabbalistic, like just enough not Kabbalistic that nobody would say you're not allowed to learn Maharal. They might say you're not allowed to learn Zohar, but they won't say you're not allowed to learn Maharal. The Ramchal, one of the Svarim of the Ramchal we have is basics principles of Kabbalah, right? Basic principles of Kabbalah. If you want to dabble a little, get your neighbor back for what she did to you. So now he says like this, he says, one of the major principles in what I'm going to be talking about is that everything has a corresponding spiritual entity. Nothing physical only exists on the physical plane. Everything is an offshoot, a ripple effect, a manifestation, a histalshalus of spiritual forces. And it's not one-to-one. The Tanya talks about this too. It's a chain of a million links. And it starts off high up and it comes down to this world as a purely physical thing. Shemehem, Mishtalshel, and Viyotzim, and these are both things and events. Now we're going to talk about Ramchal. Ramchal is going to talk about Bechira, where the Seder HaDvarim, the way it works, is slightly different. But the links are all there. So normally, if we put away Bechira for a moment, Hashem decides it's time for communism to fall, or it's time for slavery to stop and be viewed as something immoral in the world, or an industrial revolution. I mean, there have been major, I'm not talking about historical, like major historical earthquakes in the world. So this all happens in Shemayim. It doesn't happen down here. We're watching how it plays out in this world. But this is not the real playing field. This is like, we're the puppets. I'm not talking about Bechira. We're the puppets, and Hashem is pulling the strings. So normally you say those words, but we skip everything in the middle. So we imagine Hashem is like up there, behind the scenes, pulling the strings. But there are billions and billions of kochos, of entities, through which Hashem works, through the channels of Hashem works. Hashem doesn't pull the strings himself. Hashem has malachim and kochos and sorim and all kinds of spiritual forces. Everything is links in a chain reaching up to Shemayim, and mishtalshel and viyotzev, and everything, again, it goes down, until it gets to the purely physical world. Beseder echad shel hishtalshelus. Hishtalshelus, I don't know, it's like a ripple effect, or maybe, you know, hishtalshelus really means a chain. Hishtalshelus is a chain. Hishtalshelus means this begets this, and this begets this, like it causes it. It's a ripple. You start off with purely spiritual, and at the end of the ripple, it's purely physical. We can ask that about everything Hashem does. It is that way. What we gain out of knowing that that's how Hashem runs the world is it's easier. We realize that things are happening in Shemayim. Things are not really under our control. It's easier to accept Hashgacha when you accept that this is how it works. So you're accepting Hashgacha Pratis. You're accepting that there are major forces in the world and things don't stam happen. Right? They're not haphazard. They're not potluck. But it's major. Everything's major. So we don't feel it sometimes. I couldn't get a babysitter, so I couldn't go to the dinner. So we don't feel that so major. But something happened in Shemayim that brought that about. It has to be that way because it's really a spiritual world, not a physical world. The physical world is just a totsa'ah of the spiritual world, with the grand exception of Bechira. But with Bechira, it also, the chain is there. It's just that we pull the chain. Hashem made a world where our Bechira pulls the chain, so it goes up, 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 and then down again. Right, to effect events, right? So, in the famous, the Nefesh HaChayim talks like this also, and therefore in the famous words and mashal and dogma of the Nefesh HaChayim, when Titus burns the Beis HaMikdash, Hasheni, so that's what we see. But what happened in Shemayim is that we, our Averis, Titus up in Shemayim is our evil deeds, and our evil deeds destroyed the spiritual connection to Hashem, and it's in, and then it comes back down, and it looks to us that Titus is burning the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not Titus burning the Beis HaMikdash. It's our Averus that are pushing Hashem out of the picture, so to speak, out of his Dira B'tachtonim. So, and that's what the Gemara says. You know, the Gemara casually remarks that a bas kol came out of Shemayim when Titus got a little too big for his britches. A bas kol came out of Shemayim and said, you burnt a burnt house. You know, you ground up wheat. That's the Gemara's lashon. And when things happen, and you know, as we say, you need an army, but the real battle is taking place in Shemayim. It's not taking place down here. So when people say Tillim and they increase their schusim and they increase their mitzvah doing, it's not a joke. It's not a something that is just a placebo. That's really where the action is taking place. You say, well, if that's really where the action is taking place, so why do you need an army for at all? So our hashkafa is that that's part of Hishtadlus and that you have a chiyuv to do. But the force of the victory of the army is not going to depend on its grand strategy that's hammered out in the situation room. It's going to be determined in Shemayim. Yeah, you have a question?
I'm just wondering the time frame. Let's say when it happens in Shemayim, we have no idea.
No idea. I don't know even.
Centuries? Is it days?
I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, but it's also not. But is there something in Shemayim that says it shouldn't be Ba'aretz? Our not having a Beis HaMikdash exists in Shemayim also. That it belongs in Shemayim, it doesn't belong Ba'aretz. So we name an Ikam Agdelim Shabbatina Binyan Zeh, who Shekeneged Kolmash and Imtul Benim Soam Hashfalim. Nimsoim Lamala, corresponding to it, Kolchos Nivdolim, transcendent entities, Shemeham, from them, and again we're not talking about Bechira, from them, even though it's the phrase Shemeham Mistaus from the Yotzim is also true about Bechira things, except it starts down here and it goes up and then it comes back down again. The Seder Echad says, Hishtausulus, Shegozer Chachmosi Yisbarach Shemo, Hashfalim Ha'elahem, Umikrehem, and the events. When communism fell, there was a major shift in the upper worlds, in the world of Ruchnius. This is an example, an industrial revolution. I'm talking about like major cataclysmic historical events. But everything, if not just major, everything. When Nimsoim HaKochosahem Sharoshim are the roots, Lenimsoim HaShvalim Ho'ele, Vanimtsoim Hashvolim Anofim Vitolodos are the branches and the Totsaos Lakochasahem. Vinikshorim Zebazer, they're tied to one another, Kitabos Hashalshelos, like links of a chain. Okay, quickly, old Masorah Yudena, one more Masorah is that Al Kol Etzel Chol Mikash, Ebidimtsoim Hashvolim Aelah, Hukudu Bakidim and Asugam Alokish, Zachanu Lamala. Meaning, that's the job of Malachim. To make it happen down here is Malachim carry out. That's Malachim do that. That's Malachim's job. That's their role. Umasa'om, that means their role. L'kayim, to fulfill. Etzemahu, that thing. Or Amikrahu, that event. B'nimtzos ha'shvolos k'vi mashahu. That's what Malachim do. Malachim are that final. They carry the ball, so to speak, from the lowest spiritual link to the physical link of this world. Ulechadesh, Masharoi, Lechadesh, Mishfolim, Kvihagzeru, Hail Yona. And now I turn you over to the capable hands, Mrs. Noel, to tell you the schedule.